20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know, I was praying here one day last week, praying here in the sanctuary, and it seems like as I've been praying for this congregation lately, this has come up to me, that when I close my eyes and I'm praying for this body here, I see the Lord walk in the aisles here. I see him walk in the aisles. And sometimes, you know, something happens where, you know, you might see something like that, or you sense something, and you can tend to put your own twist on it. And I went, "Oh, Lord, that's great. You're here, you know, looking to show yourself strong on behalf of the people." And he said, "That's not what I said." All he did was show me him walking around. And I said, "Okay, well, then why are you here?" And he said, "I'm here training the people." He's here equipping the saints. So I wanted to make it all sweet and flowery and lovey and everything, but he said, "I'm here training the saints." And that's what he's doing. If you could see in the spirit realm and you believe the word is true, you'd see the Lord here walk in among us. And you know, when it says he's in the midst of us, that means before us, between us, in the middle. He's everywhere. And you know how that works? Here's how it works. When the message is being preached, it's a supernatural thing. God comes to each person and speaks to their heart regarding their situation. And so while this, you know, this service is going on, he's coming to Steph and he's saying, "Steph, just rest. Takes faith to rest. Takes faith to rest. Just rest." And so, you know, he's talking to people's hearts about things. And he's giving instruction to her about something. He's giving instruction to Alicia about something. And instruction to people who are here. And he's saying to Reverend Crystal, "Just cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. For he careth for you." Do you know what that means, he careth for you? He takes care of you.
Amen.
And so, you know, he's talking to people. And all I'm doing is acting out what's happening in the spirit. You see, because God's saying things to people. Whether or not they're listening, he's there saying it. And why is he doing it? To train.
Yes, that's right.
To equip the saints. And so, you know, you know, they don't, even just naturally in the world, they don't let people just go out and fight without training. That's what boot camp is for. You know, they know it's foolish to send somebody out into a battle, to send somebody out in a fight and not having trained them. So they send you to boot camp, and they teach you all these things that, you know, I guess you need for all that. And that's what happens here in the church. The Lord is here, equipping and training the saints to go out and fight the good fight of faith. That's what it is. You can't fight the good fight of faith without training. That's why people who are Christians sitting at home every week, they're failing in their fight. They haven't been trained. You know, you don't want me using a certain equipment because I haven't been trained.
Sure, right.
And you know what happens when people try to use things they're not trained in? They fail and other people get hurt. You don't want to send someone out on the battlefield who's never been trained to use the gun. You want them trained. You should not be going out to fight the good fight of fight not having been trained in the word, because you'll get hurt. You'll get beat up by the world, beat up by the devil, beat up by the enemy. And so let the Lord speak to your heart today. Let him say some things to you. You know, let him talk to you about what you're going through. Let him talk to you about what he wants you to do. Let him talk to you instructions specific for your life. Right? Come on over into prayer more. That's what he said. Come on over into prayer more. That's my sister, for everybody who doesn't know, because everyone thinks my sister is Reverend Crystal, but Reverend Crystal is not my sister. This is my sister, in case you are all wondering. So that, there's a mix-up there a lot. Maybe because we had the same hairstyle for a while or something, I don't know. But Sarah is my sister. Reverend Crystal is not my sister. And so anyway, he's talking to people's hearts. He's saying things to him if they'll just listen. And so just trust the Lord is here in the midst of us, because we're gathered in his name, and he's here giving instruction, equipping us. And I'm so grateful for that. I don't have to go out into the world now and not know what to do. Did you ever live like that, where it was just like a coin toss every day, what life was going to happen, what was going to happen in my life? And listen, it was never good. It was never good. When I didn't know better and I was living for the world, it wasn't a good life. And so sometimes the Lord tells people things. And when he talks to them about things that he wants them to do, it seems hard in your flesh. But just do that thing, because there's so much more beyond it.
That's right.
You know, even God was talking to me some certain things, just natural things that I should do. Certain things about, you know, how to dress and just general things in my life. And in my mind, it seemed like such a minor adjustment. And it just seemed like something, I don't want to say silly, but almost kind of like, well, is it really that important? And the Lord said, it is that important. And I made that adjustment, and instantly I knew it was for something more, something better. But God had to know he could trust me, that when he said that little thing, I'll do it. So that when he says the big thing, I'll do it. And so be open to hearing from God this morning. He might say some things you don't want to hear, but you better do it. Because it's dangerous to go into the fight of faith not having done what he said, not having taken the training. You know, because there are people, I'm sure you all have been through boot camp. There are people who go through boot camp and they're in the training. They're in the seminar. They're in the session. But they're not listening. And in their mind, they're shut off to what's happening. And so physical presence means nothing. And you can't receive sleeping, by the way. Do you know the things you care about, you prepare for? The things you care about, you prepare for. I care about this message today, so I prepared for it. And not just spiritually, I prepared naturally for it. And there are times where you'll be up late praying, or you have little kids and you're awake, or, you know, you work third shift and so your hours are different. And I understand there are demands on people's lives, and sometimes they come in and they're tired. But listen, do your best to be alert when you come in here. I mean, have you ever been driving in your car and you're tired, and all of a sudden you got to your destination and you thought, I have no idea how I got here? None. You're sure you were awake, but you don't know how you got there. And that happens in church. And you can see the glazed over look on people's eyes. You know they're awake, but they're really just not paying attention. They're somewhere else in their mind. And so don't be in the training seminar and not get the training. So be here today to get your training. Open with me, please, if you will. We'll get to the message here. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I want to talk to you today. I'm going to title this message, Where Are You Headed? Where are you headed? We're all headed somewhere in life. And it matters where you're headed. Do you know some people are just kind of like a wanderlust? They're just out there like, oh, whatever, just take it day by day. And that's not the will of God. Now, you should only be focused on that day in the sense you don't want to worry about tomorrow. But the plan of God is that you're looking for things out in front. That God's, you know, even if you don't know exactly what it is, that you sense something coming. And we ought to be aware of those things. And so it's good to have a sober judgment about where your life is now and where you're headed. You should be able to know some things about where you're headed. And today we'll see that you can tell by some of the fruit in your life and the things that you're doing where your life is going. Sometimes people get to a point in their life and they go, I just don't know how I ended up here. I don't know how I ended up in lack. I don't know how I ended up with my body sick. I don't know how I ended up with these things. And you can look back over their life and see. Now, some things are just an attack. But generally speaking, the habits of people's lives produce where they are. So you want to change where you're going. You want to change what's happening in your life. Then change your habits.
Amen.
And you'll have different fruit and your life will be a different direction. You know, if you were a runner and you decided, hey, I'm just going to run the downtown Jamestown area. That's my route. I go down there and I run the streets of downtown Jamestown. You're going to see some things. You're going to see some buildings. And if you did that every day, you'd see the same buildings. You know, the same buildings are there now that were there 20 years ago. You're going to see those same things. But if you ran a little further, you ran to Chautauqua Lake, you'd see something different.
Yes.
Something a little nicer. And if you kept on running, you could run to the Adirondacks and see some really pretty things and some lakes and all that kind of stuff. And if you really pressed on, you could see the Rockies. And man, that's a magnificent sight. And if you went even further, you could go the Pacific Coast Highway. But see, what's happening to people is that they're wanting to see something different, but they're running the same route all the time in their life. They're doing the same old thing. They're like that gerbil on that wheel, spending a bunch of energy, going nowhere and looking to see something different, and nothing's changing. There is an effort that must be applied if you're going to see something different. It will take work. I know that's a taboo word these days. It's going to take work. If you're not into work, then you're going to be into a wrecked life, because it's going to take some effort on your part. Do you know prayer takes effort? Prayer requires a physical exertion. It requires your time. It requires spending of your energy. And so if you're going to be diligent and you care about where you're headed, you're going to have to pray. You have to put some work into it. So if you don't want to work, then you must not care where you're headed. Brother Chris said when he was here last week, he was ministering in the North Church, and he said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. That's what I'm talking about. People just wandering around in life, not really care about where they're going and where they're at. But if you care, I'll show you today how you can do that, how you can know where you are and know where to be going. And some things to help you get where God wants you to be. You know, God has things in store for you, a plan, things prepared for you to get to, appointed times of blessing. And sometimes people, you know, they say, well, I'm serving God, I'm in the church, and I don't understand why it seems like I'm not getting all that I should. Well, maybe they're doing some things, but maybe they're not doing enough. And we're not having, you know, I'm not saying all this is works-minded, but what I am saying is that put some work together with God's grace and with his favor and get somewhere with God. Don't just stand there and scratch your head and wonder why everything's going awry. It's not a mystery. If you want to know, God will tell you. Yes. Amen. If something isn't working in your life, you can ask him and he'll tell you why. But be prepared for the why. Because he's going to tell you to do something, to change something, to give something up. There are certain lifestyles even that we'll see later on in the message that it's holding people back. You know, Tim's family, his whole dad's side of the family is Swedish, which is a wonderful thing. He's got a sweet little grandma. She's about four feet, 5 inches. I don't know, something like that, maybe a little more. Real sweet little lady. I mean, she cooked sticky buns for breakfast. That's what they did. They just did. And, you know, I have nothing against Tim's grandma. She's precious. I'm just saying that kind of lifestyle, you can't live on that. You can't live on sticky buns every morning and hear from God. And it's not right because your temple wears away. Do you know, I was praying one day again for the congregation, and the Lord said to me that he has need of some people in here to be doing some things. He has some assignments for people, some people that really need to be praying or who are praying that he needs to keep. And because they won't keep their body under, because they're not doing right by exercise and diet, they could fall short in their assignment. And by that, die early. Because their body won't endure. Your body needs something. It needs to have a certain diet. It needs to have a certain exercise. It needs to have a certain putting under of things and not giving it everything it wants so that it can do the work of God. Because there is a physical part of serving God. And you can't be all God wants you to be eating how you want to eat. Listen, I'd like cake for breakfast every morning too. But I don't eat it. I look at the sugar content in the cereals. I don't just eat anything because it's not right. I got to make my body endure. I'm not putting junky fuel in because it clogs things up and doesn't let it run right. And listen, you're going to get slowed down. Have you ever noticed, you know, after you have a heavy dessert or you have like a meal, mashed potatoes, gravy, all that stuff, and you know, you eat it, you feel like a slug after. You're like, you're sitting on the couch, you're going nowhere because your belly's so heavy, it's anchoring you into that seat. And when people eat like that every day, it makes them a sluggard spiritually. Because you can only go as far spiritually as your body will allow you to go. Why can Brother Chris hold a 5.5-hour meeting? I'll tell you why. Because he's fit physically. Because he makes sure that he's in the gym working out, and he makes sure that he's eating right. And so some things God has for people, assignments to be praying for the body and stuff that he wants people to do, they'll never do if they don't start taking care of better their body. They'll never fulfill that. And there's a precious supply of some people that the church needs, and they've got to get better at that. Listen, I have to work diligently to make sure that I keep my body under. It's an everyday effort for me not to eat the certain things that I want to eat. And I don't so much care about the sweets, but I want the chips and the dip and all that kind of, you know, grease, the fat. And so, not fat here, just fat in the food. And so, but I got to tell my body no. And I'm on a very strict regimen with that because it affects how I hear from God and my race with him. And he cannot afford to have me falling in that area. Amen. And I'm not saying what you should or shouldn't do, but I guarantee you right now, God's in the midst of us talking to people about what their part should be. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you right now, he's talking to people about what they could do better, what they could do more. And if you're not doing anything, you need to get started. Yes. You need to get started. Get it going. You know, when I was pregnant for the kids, I mean, I was weighing as much as Tim. There's something not right about that. It's not good. I had a lot of weight that I needed to lose. And it takes effort. And I'm not saying that's above the spiritual thing, but I'm saying they work hand in hand. And so whatever God's talking to you about, just obey that. I'll leave it at that, okay? Obey that. And I'll share some things with you later, but don't just keep doing the same old thing. If he's been talking to you about laying down a certain sweet or, you know, giving up that Pepsi, you know, that you're drinking all the time or something, man, don't let him talk to you about it for 6 months. You purpose today. I start today. I'm starting that today. And maybe you're not giving it up for good, but it'd do you some good to fast it for a little bit. Fast it for a little bit. You know that thing that's sucking up your time? Fast that for a while. That's how you break it. You do without. I say that to my kids. Just do without it. And I'm not saying, you know, I want them blessed and everything, but put your flesh under. You just do without that for a few minutes. Don't keep nagging me about that. Timothy will ask me from the second he gets up for sugar. Mom, can I have a sucker? Can I have, well, whatever. You know, at the bank, they give you those little lollipops. And so anyways, from the second he gets up, and I tell him every single day, there is no sugar in this house until at least after lunch, at least. And even if that, there's conditions. And so anyway, have some conditions for yourself. See, Timothy, he's forced into that because I enforce it on him. God's not enforcing it on you. He's just telling you, and he's letting you obey. He's offering you the opportunity to be blessed. And so let's open to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. You can't run your race like you should, just filling yourself up with whatever you want, whenever you want. And you know, it's really interesting that a lot of times right before we're supposed to come to church, all of a sudden it's like, I just have this craving for chocolate. And I refuse. Oh, no, no, no. I'm fasting that I can hear the Holy Ghost in the service. I refuse that. Some of us would hear better from the Holy Ghost in the service if we just did a little fasting before. You know, service is at 10 o'clock. It don't take much to skip breakfast. Or fast. You know, if you sit in front of the TV for an hour before service, fast the TV. You know, pregnant people shouldn't fast, by the way. You know, food. That's not good. Just thought I'd throw that in there because some people get confused. But so fast some things, that's all. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. This says, I'm going to read it to you actually out of the Living Bible. It says, let us stop going over the same old ground again and again, always teaching the first lessons about Christ. Let us go on instead to other things and become more mature in our understanding and strong Christians as we ought to be. Let us stop going over the same old thing again and again. Don't have God keep telling you the same thing for 6 months to get rid of it. Just do it. Just move on it. Because, listen, once you get rid of it, you know, if you cut out those sweets, then once you allow yourself to have it, it doesn't taste so good anymore. And so what you feed on, you want to continue to feed on. Just feed on the word. You know, do something to bless God and say, when I feel like eating a candy bar, instead I'm just going to go feed on the word. And get hungry for that instead of hungry for the junk, you know? This is not my message. I mean, honestly. So if you have a problem with it, take it up with God. That's all I got to say. Take it up with God. It's between you and him. Someone said to me one time, they came up to me and they said, I don't receive what you said. Well, okay, don't receive it then. That's between you and God. You want to disobey God? You want to not hear the voice of God? You go right on ahead. But I'll still be here in a year serving God when you're out doing your thing because you don't want to listen to him. You want to hear from God? I care about you, and that's why I pray for you. And that's why God says these things. But you don't want to do it. No one's forcing you. That's what the enemy does. He tries to push people into things. God doesn't. He speaks to them and lets them decide. You know, I was thinking about this morning. I was getting Michael ready. And, you know, when you were a kid, you know, and your parents seemed like all the time telling you, do this, don't do that. You're not allowed to do this. You are allowed, you know, to do that. And you would think, when I get older, I'm going to do whatever I want, whenever I want. Do you ever think that? I can't wait till I'm old. I remember telling my mom that one time. I would not recommend this. When I was little, I always wanted to have cats, and I'd always be coming home asking her for a cat. Mom, can I have this cat? But this cat, and I always had some story, and she'd be like, no, you can't have that one. And I was like, well, when I get to be older, I'm going to have as many cats as I want. You know, it's kind of like that, just, and that's how some people are with God. You know, just, I'm going to do whatever I want. Well, yeah, you go right on ahead, and it won't be fun for you. God doesn't bless your plan. He blesses his plan. So you just stepped out from where the blessing was. You stepped away from it is what happened. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The first thing you need to know about where you're headed is to take inventory. Take inventory. And so you need to be sober-minded. You know, you need to have a moderate estimation about where you are in your walk with God. And so today the first thing we need to do is take inventory. You know, it was more than 15 years ago now, but I used to be an auditor. I don't know if anybody here knew that really, but I used to be an auditor. And you know those people you see in Walmart and they've got those little packs on their leg and they're punching a bunch of buttons and they're looking at everything. They are really counting all that stuff. We had to count every single thing. If they had those big bins of like M&M containers by the register and stuff, we had to count it. And so that's what I did. I traveled, and I did inventory for stores and the qualities here in town and all that stuff. And so, but the reason the people took inventory was so that they could see what was profitable. They could see what was being stolen. They could see, you know, what's being used a lot. They need more of. And so taking inventory does something for you. It lets you see, oh, wait a minute. Where am I letting the enemy steal from me on these things? What do I need more of? And so we're going to see some things today spiritually about that. Matthew chapter 7. And why don't you go to verse 17. Here's your starting point. Are you ready? Yeah. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So whereby their fruits, you shall know them. So maybe you don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I'll tell you how you can know. Where's your fruit at? You know, I look back to even 5 years ago, how different my life is from 5 years ago. And we should be able to see a progression of things, that we should be able to see increase in our finances, that we should be able to see more joy, more peace, you know, that our body is in better working order, that we're hearing the voice of God more clearly, that we're pressing more into God in prayer, that we're more faithful in our service to him, that we're not just attending Sunday, we're attending Wednesdays, and there should be an increase, you see. And so That's where you can tell, where's my fruit? Am I bearing fruit? Right. And in what areas? And then when you see that, what you need to do is press on to more. Okay, so now where can I make those adjustments, and God's going to talk to you about it, that I can bear more fruit? What is it that I can do that I'm more effective for the kingdom? And then recognize, what have I been doing or not doing that's stealing from my life? That you can shut those things off and let the enemy have his way no more in that area in your life. And like I said, you know, during tithes and offerings, it takes faith to bring your tithe. It takes faith to bring an offering. And some people have been around for years and never given into that, never given their heart to the Lord in that area. And I'm telling you now, it's a way in. The enemy is stealing from people in that way. And so evaluate where you are in some things spiritually so that you know where you're going. And you can look back and say, I have made some progress spiritually. You know, Reverend Chris and Reverend Crystal, when they came into the church, they were not the people they are today. They've made huge spiritual strides. But they didn't do it sitting in their backyard smoking cigarettes. Going down to the bar every Friday night. That's not how their life is transformed. That they're not even recognizable from where they were before. Laziness didn't get them here. Laziness didn't get you here. In my house, we weren't allowed to be lazy. It wasn't an option. You know, there's something very spiritual about rest. But I'm talking about, you know, a work ethic and things. And, you know, as soon as I was able to work, I did. Even before I could have my working papers, I was babysitting. And I always had at least two jobs, usually three. Even going to school full-time, you know, in college. I was working, you know, third shift on the weekends, and I was working my, you know, first shift job and going to school full-time during the week. And, you know, I'm glad my parents pushed me into that because it taught me something, and it gave me something to carry in to being a Christian. Just like going to church. We didn't go to the right church. We didn't go to a Bible preaching church. We didn't go to a church that preached salvation. But they taught us the habit of going to church. So that when I came into the right one, I just used that habit in the right place. And so I had a good work habit and a good church attendance habit because my parents trained that in me. And listen, if you didn't have that your whole life, you need to get it right now. Start doing something different. Be diligent in something for God. Because some people are just, you know, lallygagging spiritually. And they need to be doing a little bit more. So let's go over here to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. God is calling people up higher, and you must come. You must come up higher with God. Now is not the time to be lazing behind. It's not. It's not the time. You need to pick up the pace a little. Pick up the pace a little. But listen, know when you're spreading yourself too thin, too. You know, it was, I think, the last time Tim went to California. And, you know, sometimes you fast food on purpose, and sometimes you just fast because you've been praying in your or praying and reading your Bible and stuff, and you just don't really feel hungry, and it's almost kind of like fasting on accident, sort of. And so Tim was gone, and I had the two messages to prepare, and it was kind of a mix of those things where I was purposing to put my body under, but I was also just, you know, praying and stuff, and so I really wasn't much hungry. But then I was, you know, taking care of the kids, and I had to preach the two services and just natural, you know, life stuff that happens while he's gone. And so, but before he left, I had scheduled to run a race on Saturday, which was the end of the week, the day before he came home. And I got out there to run the race, and I was excited about doing it. I'm talking about, you know, a 5K, a real race. And I was out there, you know, to run that race, and it was like the first four blocks into it, and I'm like, oh, Lord. Yeah, I've been spending all week not eating much and preparing for sermons and up late praying and taking care of my kids, and got out there and my body had nothing left to give. And it was all I could do just to cross the finish line. And it wasn't because I didn't want to put any effort into it. It was because, got nothing left to give toward that. And that's the least thing. Remember when Jesus was talking about Mary and Martha? And Martha's busy serving, busy serving, busy serving. And Mary's at his feet. And he said, and Martha said, have Mary get up and help me serve. And he said, she's doing the more needful thing. The thing of necessity is what the Greek says. The thing that's of necessity is what she was doing. And so, you know, there's a benefit to doing some physical things, but also you have to know your limits. And so I learned a lesson that time. Never schedule a race at the end of the week that Tim is gone, because I don't have that left to give, and I need to give to the more needful thing. The thing that is of value spiritually for the people. And so know where your limits are in those things. And don't go beyond that. You know, people violate rest and they're up late at night, you know, not doing much but watching videos. And, you know, there's a difference if you're up late praying. There's supernatural strength and a grace for that. But, you know, you're up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning watching videos. All you're doing is getting tired. That's all you're doing. And so come back on some things that, you know, you're doing a little too much of that's wearing you out. Know where your limits are. And it's just training. That's what it is. So that was training for me. And so I know this, you know, when times come around and there's more of a demand on me, so to speak, that I got to be guarded in that area. And I'll share with you later when we talk about how to care for your body that some things, actually I was looking back to the word Pastor Michael gave me by the Holy Ghost when I was licensed. And the Holy Ghost had him tell me some things about being careful to rest. And it's applicable to everyone here. So let's go on. So the first thing we have is take inventory. So you got to know where you're at now, have a goal to go forward. But the second thing is press toward the mark. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. So you're going to leave here knowing some very specific things that you can do to get started so that you're headed more toward what God has for you. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read to you here first in the King James, and then I'll read it out of the Living Bible. We don't have the Living Bible on the overhead, so that's why I'll have to read it to you. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the Living Bible says, no, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energy to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach for the end of my race and to receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of that which Christ Jesus did for us. Isn't that good? Man, we should just be pressing with everything we have toward what God has for us ahead. Looking. What does he have for the church? This church body, I can't even describe in words how precious it is to me. And because it's precious to me, I invest into it. And I pray for the people here and things that the enemy would try and bring to hurt people and abort things in their life and just mess things up. And God will assign it and say, pray that out and take care of it. And, you know, the people here are just blessed because they have someone praying for them because God loves them enough to do something for them. And I'm not the only one. But I'm just saying, I love you guys so much that I do something for you. You know, labor for you, that you fulfill the will of God and that you do all that he has for you. And that's why that righteous anger rises up on the inside of me when I see people sleeping during service, you know, and not paying attention and all that stuff. Because you ever work so hard to do something for somebody and then they just kind of stomp on that blessing? There's just something about it. You're just like, you just want to do something. And so I care about you. And I want to see you pressing toward all that God has for you. Because he's got more for people. But stagnation, laziness, distractions are before people, keeping them from that. Tim has been preaching it and preaching it and preaching it. Get into prayer. Get out of distractions. Get into prayer. Get out of distractions. Get into prayer. Get out of distractions. And he's still preaching it because people still aren't doing it. That's right. And when you start doing it, he'll stop preaching it and move on to something else. So if you're tired of hearing it, you do something about it. Get doing something. He'll stop saying it. That's all. You don't want to hear it? Well, you can do something about not hearing it again. Get busy pressing. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You know, I love my kids, so I do stuff for them. I love my husband, so I do stuff for them. I spend time on them and, you know, invest in them and just training the kids all day, every day, all day, every day. Sometimes I say the same sentence to Timothy 30 times in a day, and it takes 2 weeks before he gets it, and he says it to me once, and I feel like I want to fall on my knees and just say, thank you, Jesus. He's been saying to me of late, you know, all of a sudden it seems like, I don't know if they go places and hear things from other kids, I see them scheming. See the kids scheming out there about stuff, and I'm like, they got something cooking. And they always blame other kids, and I know it's not that, because they come up with their own stuff, trust me. But sometimes I'll say to Timothy, where did you hear that? And he'll name kids, and I go, it don't even matter, because my kid has shared so much stuff with other people, and they're probably like, Timothy taught us a lot. But Timothy, as of late, just started saying to me when he would sit down, at dinner time, it's like I'm getting drinks for everybody and meals for everybody and just stuff is kind of busy. And if I didn't get his drink right away, Timothy loves to have a full drink. And he'll just say, I don't have a drink yet. And I'll say, well, you're still not going to have one because that is not how you asked me and I'm not getting it based on that. And then I tell him, you better say, Mommy, can I please have a drink? I'll get you one. And so he'd sit down for a meal, and inevitably he'd say, hey, I don't have a drink. And I'd go, and you're still not going to have one because you're not talking to me right, and so I'm not getting it for you. And he'd go, oh, okay, you know. And then he'd say, Mommy, can I please have a drink? And so finally it was last night. He said, he sat down for a snack, and he said, Mommy, can I please have a drink? Well, yes. I'm running to the fridge because I want to reward him quick. But I do stuff for the ones I love. I invest in the ones I love. I train the ones I love and work with how they're training me. It matters that you're teachable. Yes. You know, and when the one training you is your husband, sometimes you got to put your flesh under about that because you're close, you know. And so just receive training. Go to John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 15, verse 13, and then I'm going to share with you another scripture. Why don't you put your hand there and then find 1 Corinthians 16, because these are linked, so I want to read them close and then talk about it. 1 Corinthians 16. When I hear pages stop, we'll start reading. God is so good. God is so faithful. Sometimes people have just kept their eyes too much on their own life, you know. And there's a selfishness in that. That it would bless you if you gave more to God's people. Some people, you know, sense like an emptiness and, you know, that there's more for them, but they don't know what it is. And I'll tell you what it is. It's loving what God loves. And God loves people. Yes. God sent his son Jesus to suffer and die and raise again because he loved us. That's right. That's how much he loves people. That's how much he loves having a family. That's why the enemy is always working against that. That's why he's always trying to tear apart the local body, why he's trying to ruin God's local family, because he's trying to wreck what God loves the most. And so, you know, sometimes people are looking too much of their own life. What can I get? What do I need? You know, trying to fill up themselves, when really, if they just look to be a blessing to God's people, there would be a fulfillment in them.
That's right.
My life has never been better than when I didn't live for me.
Yeah.
Because when I, you know, was living for me, I was always looking to people to do something for me or looking to them for them to fulfill. Or even when I was going through all that panic, anxiety and stuff, I was looking to the doctors to fix me. And listen, there is no fixing in the world. Your fulfillment can come from nothing other than the Lord.
That's it.
And living for him.
Amen.
Go to John chapter 15, verse 13, and it says, greater love hath no man than this, that he let the man lay down his life for his friends. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, it says, I beseech you, brethren, that you know the house of Stephanas, and that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Can you bring that verse up in the Amplified? It says, now, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, and we're the first converts and our first fruits in Achaia, most of Greece, and how they have consecrated and devoted themselves to the service of the saints or God's people. Consecrated and devoted themselves to God's people. Isn't that what the helps ministry is all about? Isn't that what the body does? Operate in helps ministries? Consecrate and devote. Consecrate and devote. Consecrate and devote. That's what the Lord's saying to people. Consecrate your life. Devote it to God's people. Devote it to the service of the Lord. Because you're not here serving me. You're not here serving Tim. You're here serving the people in this body. The cleaning crew, the ushers, the parking lot people, you know, the KA and LA workers, the clean, everybody. Not here serving me, serving Jesus. And we can always do what we're doing better. We always can. Just fine-tuning some things. And so we need to be consecrated and dedicated, devoted to the service of God's people. And we can do that through prayer and through the helps ministries. But listen, we need to be leading a clean life for Jesus. And I know, you know, like Tim has been talking about, lay down the distractions, and consecrate your life more to him. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better servant at the church. You'll be a better boss at work. Everything you do will be better when you consecrate more to him. You will not hear clearly the voice of God till you consecrate more. Some people do not know what to do right now in a situation, and it's because they have not consecrated to the Lord like they should. I'm talking about laying down habits, laying down addictions, laying down, you know, vices that they've had in their life and lifestyles. You know, when I lived for the world, I had addictions. I had worldly addictions of just stuff. I mean, I don't even know. It will be revealed one day how many times I was on death's doorstep. I know at least a couple. I know I should be in prison right now, but I'm not because of God's goodness, God's grace. And so I was spared some things. But I had some addictions into some things in the world. And if you'll come on over out of that and bring on the addiction of God, which is be addicted to the service of the saints. Do you know why the world can't lay down their addiction? They got nothing to fill it up after that emptiness goes. You see all these people in Hollywood and, you know, getting all these rehab programs, and you see every few months they're back into a new one. And all they do is go to a new site. But it's the same program. And listen, it's the same failed program, because every single time they come out and they go, oh, well, I'm good, and a few weeks later they go back in. People addicted to pain medications and all that kind of stuff. And Leroy, where's Leroy? Leroy. I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Leroy. But he was giving a testimony to Tim and I recently, and he was talking about, you know, an addiction to alcohol that he had in the world, and he was saying, I tried everything there was to give that up. And it was only after I came into the church and heard about what Jesus did for me and lived for him, just gone. Because God filled that up. And so, you know, people have addictions in the world because there's an emptiness in their life. And they're trying to stuff that hole, that empty hole. Fill, you know, the devil says, here, put this in there. Here, put this in there. Here, put this in there. And have you ever noticed, you know, those addictions? It all started with one. It started with one cigarette, with one drink. You know, people addicted to pornography. It started with one picture, one video, whatever. And then it just got more and more and more. It's kind of like the vacuum cleaner. You know, you vacuum your house, you go around, and whatever the vacuum is over, it picks up. And so whatever you're spending your time on, whatever you're over, it's being drawn up into your life. And the more you go over it, the more it's drawn up in. People got things wrong in their mind about thinking, and bondage to fear, and bondage to depression, and bondage to oppression, and all of these things. Scared about what people think of them. The devil's working on people about that. You know, what people might think about me, if I have my hair this certain way, if I wear this certain boot, that I'm too overweight, and whatever. And all that is bondage. And listen, you can have addictions in your mind. It doesn't have to be an outward one. And people having the wrong thoughts, the more they think those wrong thoughts, the more wrong thoughts are brought into their life, till they're not thinking right. Till they're totally depressed, they're totally busted down, they're totally oppressed, housebound by, you know, anxiety and all that, looking at porn all the time on the screen, all that kind of stuff. It's because they first had a wrong thought. But then they thought on that wrong thought. And then they thought some more on it. And every time they thought more on it, it multiplied. So careful about what you're spending your time on and what you're thinking about, because every time you do, you don't even see it in the spirit realm. Multiplying. 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 And then next thing you know, depression, oppression, people feeling like they're not good enough for God, people feeling like they're not good enough for another husband, people feeling like they're not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. And it's because they've spent too much time on it. I saw in my heart, it was like a spiritual suitcase. You know, there was a time Tim and I took a trip. And it was in a 71 Volkswagen bus before we lived for Jesus. And I'm a shoe girl. I like shoes. And so I just say in my closet, shoes, you multiply. I speak to my closet to be full and commanding them to do something. And thank you, Lord, my closet's full of shoes. And so anyway, you're all laughing, but it works. Because I say that to my cupboards, be full with food. And I say to my garage, be full with nice cars. And I speak to my things because it matters. That's right. That's right. And so, anyway, we were going on a trip. We quit school, college. I do not recommend this. I was not living for Jesus. I quit school. And we decided we would travel around the country in a 71 Volkswagen bus. This is how lost we were, to figure out where we wanted to live. Thank God for Jesus. Did you ever see the bus? Oh, yeah. So it did not have heat, and we were leaving in late fall. And we were not headed somewhere warm. We were headed west. And I'm talking, like, through the Smokies, and it wasn't warm there. And it not only doesn't have heat, okay, but it's like air conditioning because it's a pop top. But the seal is not good. And so it's like you're riding in the front seat and your hair's all blowed back and it's like you're freezing. We stopped in Kansas at this, finally found a Walmart, and we got hunting equipment, and I'm like loaded up with all those heat packs and boots and liners and all that stuff. And we're like, I got bronchitis on that trip because, you know, sleeping, it was so cold. And I had to stop for a few days and get some medicine and everything because I was sick. Dumb. Just not living for the Lord, so just doing stupid stuff, really. Reaping stupid rewards, that's what I was doing. So Tim comes to pick me up for this trip, and I've got a whole laundry basket full of shoes and a 71 Volkswagen bus, and we've got all this laundry basket full of shoes, and we're going to be camping. We're not staying in hotels. We don't have money for that. We're sleeping in the pop top every night. And so I'm like, I need to have shoes to go with every outfit. And so Tim shows up, and he's like, are you kidding? We are not taking these shoes. And so I'm trying to convince him we should, and he's saying we're not. And so I just decide to stop arguing with him. And while he's loading all my other stuff in the van, I'm taking them pair by pair and stuffing them in there. He's not noticing. He thinks I'm helping him. I'm taking my shoes pair by pair, and I'm jamming them in wherever I can in the van. And we get to our first stop, and I forgot about something. And, you know, the back has a, the seat folds down into where you can sleep. And so he goes to take that seat to fold it down so he can sleep. And don't you know, it was like, all my shoes come flying out. And if you could see the look on his face. And I didn't know all that was going to happen, so that every time we had to fold down the back seat to sleep, I had to, you know, put the shoes back up, take them all back down, end up being a ton of work. We were camping in the middle of nowhere. It was freezing, and I had the same clothes on for, like, the whole entire trip because I was just too cold to take them off. You know, it was like hunting boots and camping boots and whatever, hiking boots. And so anyways, I brought all that stuff that was totally unnecessary, didn't do me any good. It is laughable because we were totally not in a place that warranted high heels and that kind of thing. And anyways, that happens to people, you know, spiritually. They've got this suitcase with them, and they say they want to live for God, and yet they're piling all this junk in there. They're piling past hurts and failed marriages and, you know, missteps with kids and all this stuff. And the enemies tell them, oh, yeah, remember when you did this and you missed it? Remember when this didn't work out? And he's telling people that, and they're carrying it around. And it's holding everything back.
Right.
Everything. When we go on a vacation, I pack for all of us, and I just jam stuff in there, you know, and I do it nice and everything, but I like it full, the suitcase, I'm sitting on it. We might not use any of it, but I better have it, you know. So Tim's trying to drag that thing one stair at a time down the stairs. And that's how it looks for people. They're being so held back because they've got all this stuff they will not let go. And it's not doing them a bit of good. So what, something didn't work out before? You just do it again. Do it different. Do it better. Do it under the blessing of God. You know, people come in sometimes and they, you know, say, well, you know, I was married before and that didn't work out. And, you know, people try and put them under condemnation and stuff. Who cares? Didn't work out. Okay. Well, then be blessed with a new husband, a new wife, something better. You know, God has something for you and it'll bless you. And you can serve God together. And so, you know, even people who came in and, you know, Reverend Chris and Crystal, when we first had, was it Pillars then? It was way back in the old building, was it? There were some interesting happenings at those meetings, but anyways, won't recount all that. But when they first came, they were smoking cigarettes, remember outside, and playing basketball, having a cigarette break. They're not doing that now. You can't keep doing some stuff and live right for God. But listen, they didn't know better then.
That's right.
But there are some things we know better about.
Yeah.
And we better be laying it down.
Because
right. God's got things for us we're not getting to.
Because
we're too busy hauling around all this stuff that we did wrong. Or maybe we didn't do perfect. God just wants you to work with him.
Yes.
When he tells you to do something. You know, so what? You didn't do it perfect the first time. Did you ever show up on a job and know everything to do the first day? No, you didn't. You might have messed it up a few times. You had a time of training where, you know, they're saying, no, well, oh, you didn't do that right. Here's how you really do it. And you didn't have that expectation for yourself in the world, you know, working your job and stuff. And so spiritually, sometimes it takes some training. You got to learn how things work. And so if you didn't do it all right, that's okay. Just repent today and get back in. Get going the right way. Because of God's grace. We better get moving here. Let's move on. Okay. So what influences where you're headed? Let's look here. How about this? We'll go to care for your body. Let's go to Exodus. Caring for your body. Exodus 18. Now I'm going to read you a decent portion of scripture here because without it, you will not get the whole picture, okay? So just bear with me reading. Exodus 18, 15. And I want to share some things with you about taking care of your physical body, your physical health. And this story, I'm just going to sum it up before we read so that when we read, it's more clear to you, but Moses was, you know, God's man, and he was living for God, and he was doing something that was wearing him out physically. You know, all the people that were coming before him, and they were inquiring of him, Moses, what should we do in this situation? What should we do between, you know, these two people that have disputes? And he was solving things for people and helping people know what to do in their life. And his father-in-law, Jethro, came to him and he said, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out and you're not going to be any good to anybody. And Moses heeded that advice and he said, okay. And then he did something different. Okay, so that's this story. Exodus chapter 18, let's start in verse 15. It says, Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come of me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And then Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that you do is not good. See, because there are some things that we're doing in our physical body, it's not good, that we're wearing ourselves out. Even with kids, it's good to have kids have activities and stuff, but some people have an activity for their kid twice a day, every day of the week, and they're running all over the place, taking their kid to this sport and to that sport and this kid's house for a play date and all those kinds of things. And you're not just wearing yourself out, using up time, you're wearing your kids out. And so just certain things people are doing that are wearing themselves out. Thou will surely wear away. And see, that's what I was talking about earlier. You know, the Lord just sharing with me that there's some people who, if they got some things turned around physically, I see them wearing away, and God needs their supply. And so don't do that. Thou wilt surely wear away, both you and this people which is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for you, and you are not able to perform it yourself alone. Do you know that happens just naturally, you know, because people want help, and that's a good thing. But it seems like there's more seasons of these things, too, where all of a sudden they'll just be a tremendous amount of people wanting to meet with Tim, or a tremendous amount of people wanting to meet with me, and they don't understand. When those things happen, there's a right time for them, and there's a right situation for them. But on a regular basis, to be doing that, like this says, it's not good. You wear away. You know what happens? It takes from you some. And the best thing that you need from us is time and prayer and word. That's the best thing you need. And to be here in the service, to hear from God. And so there are times when it's appropriate to meet. And I'm not saying that, and I'm not dismissing it. But what I am saying is that the best thing we can do for you so that we don't wear out is to spend time with God. And even if you had a situation that you said, would you pray on even? You know, because meeting over and over and over and over and over again, that wears out. And see, we have to have something left to give to everyone else. And so just like for Moses, it's right, you know, to guard some things in your life. Let's continue reading. And he says, let's go to verse 18. Thou will surely wear away both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you, and you are not able to perform it yourself alone. So hearken now unto my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will share with you, and be thou for the people to Godward, that you may bring that cause unto God. And so he says, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. And moreover, so what he's saying is, so you'll tell the people what God says, and you'll tell the people his laws, and you'll tell the people what God has, and then let them decide for their own situation what to do. But then if that doesn't work, he says, then you will provide out all the people, able men, ones that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And that word covetousness just means that they can't be bought. You know, he wanted them to appoint other men that would help with these situations, help minister to the people. And what he said is, you can do that, but don't, you know, don't put men there that you can pay them for the right answer. That when there's a dispute between two people, the one with the more money gets the judge to say something in their favor. Okay? And so he says, and the place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And so he was helping Moses by saying, stop doing this stuff that's wearing you out. You need some help. You need to let that go. And you can't be all things to all people. And there's a real pressure on people sometimes to do that, that they have to be all things to all people. And listen, you need to do what God told you to do. and follow your heart on what God told you to spend your energy on. You know, we don't go to everything people ask us to because we can't. We cannot. We'll wear out. Pastor Michael, let me share with you what he said to me when I was licensed. I'll find it here. I wrote it down. Let me see. I want you to see this because it will help you as well. Care for your physical body. Pastor Michael, when he licensed me, he said, "You have lots of responsibilities, so take care of yourself. You cannot yield to the anointing if you're not rested, and you're no one good to anyone if you're tired." And that's an instruction for all of us, that there are things God wants us to do and things that he wants us to say and places he wants us to go and, you know, things in prayer that he wants to talk to us about. But a lot of times we get to prayer and we're so tired. We can't yield to that. We can't hear that voice of God clearly like we should because we're almost asleep. And so you need to purpose that the things of God have your best. You know, have your best effort. You know, that if you come home from work and you know you're most awake at 5:30 and not at 9:30, then it might be a good cue for you that 5:30 should be your prayer time, not 9:30. And mine changes depending on the season. See, because I have the responsibility of my husband and my kids and all that. And so depending on what they're going through and what they need at the time, my prayer time will change. Right now, it's been very late at night because that's when it's available right now. And so it'll seem like it's like around 9:30 and whew, I have a wind. It's like I'm wide awake, like I just got up in the morning. And so my prayer time is late at night. But you got to do what works for you. And put, you know, make sure that you're conscious of how it's affecting your body. And so make sure that you're getting some rest in some things. Do you know it's scriptural to have a Sabbath day, a rest? You know, that you're resting from all of your labors of the week. Why? So that you can go out the other days of the week and minister how you should and be a blessing how you should. And so you should have some rest. Let me share one last thing with you and then we'll close. So the last thing I wanted to tell you about what influences where you're heading, caring for your body and prayer. Prayer. And I'm feeling now to end the service. And so we're not going to go into all that, but I want to share one thing with you that I feel the Holy Ghost having me to share, and that is this. I was praying for the congregation, and this is not something that normally that I've ever seen before in prayer, but I was praying for the congregation. In my heart, I saw a pile of poop. I was like, that's very interesting. Pile of poop. Okay, well, doesn't seem very spiritual. And so while I'm praying, I saw a pile of poop, and the Lord said, started talking to me about how, what lands on poop? I'm like, okay, well, flies land on poop. And he said, yes, flies land on poop. And you know, Satan's known as Lord of the Flies.
That's right.
And he said, sometimes the enemy is allowed to land on people's lives because they don't have enough movement, enough spiritual movement. See, because if you've been around, you know, a picnic table or something and flies are landing on it, all you got to do is wave your arm, bring some movement. When you bring that movement, what happens? They go away. And so flies land on dead things. They land on roadkill, and they land on poop, and they land on your garbage and stuff, you know, food at your picnic table. They land on all that. But as soon as movement comes, you know, a car goes by, the flies go off. You're at the picnic, your arm goes by, flies go off. I tend to try not to go around the poop, make the flies go off, but you know, sometimes. And he said, sometimes the enemy is allowed to be there on people's life because they don't have enough spiritual movement. And if they'd pick up the pace a little, there would be some things that would move on out. And that's true in prayer. You know, there are some things where the enemy's been allowed to settle in on people a little bit because they haven't done what they should in prayer. There's no movement there. And so I'm saying that as an encouragement to you. I'm saying, because he showed that to me when I was praying for the congregation. And he said it regarding some, you know, specific people, but it applies to everyone. And so get some things moving spiritually. Get to praying. Get to praying. Get to praying. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, assign your faith a direction. Assign your faith a direction. You shouldn't just go, unless you have a burden to pray for someone, or you have a burden to pray and you're not really sure what it is that you're praying out, you know, then you can go to the Father and say, I pray your perfect will regarding, you know, what I feel in my heart. I don't know what it is, but I trust you're going to help me to pray that out. That's different when you have a prayer burden. But when you're just going into your everyday prayer, you should be assigning your faith somewhere. And so when you go into praying in the Spirit, you say, Father, now I'm praying for this congregation, and I just thank you, your perfect will comes to pass. And then I say all I know to pray for them in English, and then I say, now I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost for this congregation. And then I just start praying in tongues. And so I think some people are not getting that. You know, they're just kind of going in praying in tongues, and that doesn't do, you need to have your faith going somewhere. And so prayer is the last thing that will get you headed where you need to go. Pick up some spiritual movement. That some things aren't settled in on you. I sense that a little bit. People need to pick that up. Pick that up. Pick that up. Even if it's an additional, you know, purpose, an extra 5 minutes this week, an extra 10 minutes next week, you know, get going. 15 minutes of praying a day is not good. You need more than 15 minutes of praying a day. I'm just throwing that out there. It's not enough. Okay. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, you care about us, and Father God, you count us as precious, and we thank you, Lord, for your instruction, that you care about us enough to train us. And Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, you care about us enough that, Father God, you sent your son Jesus to die and to raise again for our sake. And if you're in here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, that if I were to say today, you're going to die, would you know you're going to heaven? If you've never made that decision in your heart where you've asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that now. You need to do that here in the presence of all of us. We will pray with you, and there will be rejoicing that you've given your life to Him. And so it's very important, if you've never made that decision, you've never asked Jesus as your Savior, that you raise your hand now, and we will all pray together that you can ask the Lord into your heart. It's the very first step in your walk with God, that you have Him in your heart, that you know Him as Lord and Savior, that you can know that when you pass from this life, you spend eternity with Him. When I was living in the world, I didn't know. I was always wanted to die, but afraid to die because I didn't know where I was going to go when I died. You can know, you can leave here today having Jesus in your heart. If you've never made that decision, I ask you to raise your hand and we'll all pray together. Anyone that wants to ask the Lord into their heart? I don't see any hands. Is there anyone that wants to get their life right with Jesus? That you've gone away from Him? I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand, and that hand, and that hand, and that hand, and that hand. See your hand in the back, that you haven't been living as you should. I see that hand up front. I see that hand. Thank you, Father. And those hands, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the Holy Ghost working on people's hearts. I see that hand bringing them back in, bringing them back in into right fellowship. It's just as important that people get saved, that if they're not living right, that they come back in. That they come back in. So let's all pray together. Father, we ask you to forgive us for walking out of fellowship with you, for sinning against you. We repent now and purpose to change our minds. We thank you, Lord, that you're merciful and gracious. And we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that good? That's so wonderful. CMP.